Good morning, church. How is everybody this morning? Listen, I want to tell you before we start this morning, today's going to be different. And I know that's going to be okay with you when you realize what's going on. Today is, in many of the churches across America today, it's Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And the focus primarily is about abortion. And this morning, of course, we want to focus on that, but we also want to remind ourselves of the sanctity of all of human life. And we want to emphasize that this morning with our love for one another and with our love for people in special need. So be thinking about that this morning as we pray and as we sing together, as we listen to other voices this morning, some who are dealing with difficulty in their lives. And let's have that compassion of Christ that we need to have for one another. All right, let's worship.
All right, let's be standing as we start our worship this morning. There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great mind. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is a God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive, in him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
Amen. Please be seated. All right, our scripture reading this morning will come from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" All right, if you'd pray with me, please. God, I come to you this morning, and I just want to thank you for everybody that is here this morning. We thank you for the community that we're able to have when we come into this building, and as we raise one voice to you in worship, as we listen to your word together with open hearts. And God, I pray that you'll be with us this morning during this special Sunday where we get to reflect a little bit on the value of each and every life and each and every person. And I pray, God, that we can leave here this morning with a little bit more respect for each and every person that we come into contact with, that we can love and care for the people around us in our lives, especially the ones that need it the most, Lord. God, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for always being with us. We thank you for giving us a way to be made perfect when we can't do it ourselves, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, and it's in his son, that in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, we'll continue in worship. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will This next song, as y'all know, we have four parts, and so we'll start out with alto, I think, and then add in a part each verse. So,
love one another, for love is of God. God with all thy heart.
Thank you.
God's in His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. Yet greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days. Because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
This next song will serve to prepare our minds and hearts for the Lord's Supper.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, tries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never same, for I've seen faithful love His name. Faithful love is a friend, just when hope seems to end. Welcome faith, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, Spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is His name.
If you need the communion cups, Cooper and Aiden will be passing those out. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us remember the bread as the body of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He's provided for us. Amen. Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us remember the juice as the blood of Jesus Christ and why He died on the cross for us. Amen.
All right, it is that time again to send our children upstairs to Children's Church. But before we do that, we're going to do our children's offering. And I need a little bit of help, so I was going to see if I could get one of our older kids to come up here and hold the basket for the little ones as they come and bring. James, you want to do it? All right. James is going to hold our offering this morning, so when you come down for the offering, just put it in the bucket, and then we'll send our ages 3 through 5 upstairs. And we also have an attended nursery down the hall for anybody under 3 if you want to take them there. So we're going to sing this next song, and children, y'all can come down and drop your money in the bucket and then head either down the hall or upstairs. Before we start singing, I want to remind y'all we're putting this money this month towards our mission trip that's coming up in March to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Again, everybody is invited to come up there with us. It's a church-wide event. If you want to know more about that, you can talk to me or Whitney. But we'll be going March 5th through the 11th. Thank you all.
Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well. and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. Green grass and flowers all blooming in springtime are works of the Master. I live for each day. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. Tall mountains, green valleys, the beauty that surrounds me all make me aware of the one who made it all. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part.
Good morning, church. All right, you can see from the what looks like a picnic tablecloth on the slide that next Sunday after services, we're going to have a luncheon over in the family center. It's going to be hot dogs and hamburgers, and you can bring chips and stuff like that to go along with it, but the meat will be provided, and you can bring some desserts. If you want to eat desserts, bring that. But there's two reasons why we're going to do this. One is it's a fundraiser for our spring break mission trip. We're going to Bowling Green. We're going to help with the tornado relief there in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we would love to have people involved in doing that. But we need some supplies. We need expenses for the trip, stuff like that. So we're going to put the money that you're going to give for paying for your lunch. Instead of going out to eat somewhere, eat at the church building, make a donation for the spring trip, spring mission trip. So we'd appreciate that. The second reason we're doing this is that if all goes well, and you know how that goes, we should have all of our drawings and renderings about what the auditorium is going to look like when we finish our renovation available to us for next Sunday. And we're going to have a display in the family center for you to be able to see and answer your questions about what's going to happen with that. You'll see how it looks and some of the materials that will go into it and all of that sort of thing. And we'll have some people available to answer questions if you have any. So that's another reason why we're doing the luncheon next week, is to give you a view of that. So please participate in it. Be a part of it. If you can't be here next Sunday for lunch, then you're welcome to give your donation a different way. The other thing I want you to see this morning before we get into our lesson is, if you haven't done this already, beginning today, we're asking people to take this church health assessment. The QR code that you see on the screen, and you can do this right now if you'd like to do it, is get that QR code on your phone and take this survey. It's really short. It'll probably take you less than 15 minutes to do it. And I want the teens to realize that we want you to be involved in doing this also. There's some questions in this assessment that are important to our youth ministry for the future. And it will deal with some of the things that we need to prepare ourselves for as we transition in the youth ministry to another youth and family minister. So we would encourage the teens to also take this church health assessment for us, okay? So all of you, every person in the congregation from 13 years old up, please take this assessment. I'd appreciate it. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me, please? God, our Father, you're great and good and holy and just. We come before you this day remembering the sanctity of life. We know that by your power, you brought everything into existence. There is no life that exists in this world except that you've created. We know that you began the creation process as we read about it in the Bible in Genesis 1, making holy and sacred all of life. And we know the human life is special to you, not only in this life that we live on this earth, but in the life that we live eternally. And we ask, Father, this morning that we'll come away from this service being more willing to honor those who live about us, to be empathetic of what they're going through, to cherish life as precious, and hold it dear to our hearts like you hold it dear to yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On January 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion in every state in the United States. And on January the 13th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January the 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day in the United States. Many churches since that time have used the Sunday nearest to that date in January as a day in which we honor the sanctity of life, in which we remember how precious life is, and especially we remember that life begins at conception, and God loves every precious child, born and unborn. This morning, we want to emphasize all of life, but we'll give special attention to what's being discussed about abortion. I don't want you to think that this is a political process. I don't want you to think that this is a protest. This is not about trying to do anything to influence the Supreme Court this morning. This is about our call as Christians to remember the sacredness and sanctity of human life. I'd like to share with you just a little short video by a lady that I have tremendous respect for. Her name is Johnny Erickson Tata. She suffered an accident when she was diving in her teens, and it left her paralyzed. And she went through great suffering during that period of time of realizing that she would never have the life that she had before, even to the point of wanting to kill herself. But through that, she grew in her faith to be a great Christian witness for all of us, and uses her gifts, even painting with her mouth, great artistic work, writing songs and performing them, and be an outspoken person.
Today we're honoring the sanctity of life, and for me, it's pretty personal, because when I get up in the morning, as difficult as it is, I need to remember in whose image I'm made. My body may be broken, but I am a God reflector. I mirror a God who has made me in His image, and that is what gives me, gives us all, human dignity. Not the ability to walk or use your hands. Human dignity does not depend on whether or not I can blow my nose or cut my food or toilet myself. No, it's prideful to think that it's beneath your dignity to be weak and helpless. Look, there's no room for pride when you bear the image of God. Only humility. Because you're humbled when you realize that you are an image bearer of Almighty God. Whew. So on Sanctity of Life Day, spread the word. Quality of life does not depend on what you can or cannot do. It depends on whose image you reflect.
So today we're honoring the sanctity of life, all lives, no matter who we are, because we're all created in the image of God. That certainly applies this morning to children. children born and unborn. But we need to remember that Jesus in his ministry had compassion on all people in need. He healed the sick. He went to the grave of the dead. He mourned with those who had lost a loved one. He reached out to the lepers who were untouchable. You see, over and over and over, Jesus showing compassion for all people in need. Every person, regardless of what they're suffering from, needs to have our compassion because we're called to have the same compassion as Jesus Christ. If we're truly going to be his disciples, if we're really going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we need to have Jesus' compassion for all human beings. But especially this morning, we're going to remember that we also need to be concerned about the children. It says in Psalms 119, verses 13 through 16, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Even in the womb, God is concerned about us. So if we're going to have the compassion of God and the compassion of Jesus Christ, we must have that same love for all children and for those who are unborn. I want you to realize this morning that that means we also need to have compassion for the people who have made the decision to abort a child. We often think about abortion from the standpoint of us being against abortion. And I think that's important for us to understand why, because those unborn children are made in the image of God and they're to be loved by us. But at the same time, I think it's important that we also love the people who have made a decision that although we disagree with that decision, we still love them and we still have compassion for them. This morning, I want to share with you a video that was filmed of one of our dear sisters in Christ who's experienced this very thing. We love her. You've loved her, but she's had a secret, and she has wanted to share that secret with you. And I know you'll show your love for her. But her message is a strong message to all of us this morning. And so it's a little bit lengthy, but I want you to be patient and listen carefully to her story. Because she wants to be an ambassador to help people who are suffering like she did for so many years bearing this burden.
Let's, by way of introduction, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself. You work at Foster Home. Tell us a little bit about Foster Home and what you do there and yes. Your family.
Well, we moved to Stephenville in 94, and it was to go to work as house parents at Foster's Home. And we worked there about 8.5 years with teenage girls and brought two boys along with us, 7 and 4, Remy and Bronson. And Chanel was born here in 97. And after we left the home, about a year, I got a call wondering if I was interested in an office job. And I was, because Foster Home's a special place. And so I went to work in a medical office and worked there till a couple of our grandchildren were born. And I was like, I'm retiring so I could spend time with them. But That only lasted a couple of years, and then I went back. But recently, I moved over to the development department, and I really enjoy my work there. A nurse who's here, Amy, is now in the medical office, and we're so blessed to have her there. So we've been here a while now.
Well, it's obvious you love children and you like to be in ministries that help children, but you're also volunteering for another ministry that particularly connects with our subject today. Tell us about that.
I had always had an interest in Choices, the clinic that's here. Didn't know a lot about it when I first heard of it, but through the years I've learned bits and pieces. And 2019 kind of started a ball rolling for me early in the year. Some things happened in our world that just shook me. And it was then that I just prayed, God, show me what to do, and I will do it. And so, as faithful as he is, these things kept popping up in front of me of things relating to the subject of abortion. And so, one spring I got up the courage to go in. That spring I got the courage to go into Choices. And I'd already asked about the Bible classes on abortion recovery. And I definitely wanted to be a part of that. Ashley told me, she said, you can't lead the Bible study. And that's what I had gone in asking about. She said, you can't lead it until you go through it. And I said, okay. And that was God's wisdom. So one didn't start till the fall, but that was also the year that 40 Days for Life started. A team here in Stephenville to pray for an end to abortion in your town is how they slogan it, is, you know, just your location. And there, I think the last count was 1,000 towns across the globe that participated, and several countries. And I just began to think that maybe God is getting ready to make some changes. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful to see a way that we can find to avoid abortion.
Okay.
And Choices is a wonderful place. They are very loving and kind to anybody who walks through the door, whether that's post-abortive or, you know, for a pregnancy test or a sonogram. It's a joy to be there and, you know, try to support young women in that place. And so went through the Bible study. It's amazing, very tough, but amazing, because all those years I just felt like I couldn't accept that God could forgive the decision to abort. And my head told me, yes, that's the truth. But I think it takes some pretty intensive study. The more I read about the thoughts and feelings of other post-abortive women, that's a real common thought that we have, that this is one that's not forgivable. And a group of three ladies led me through that Bible study, and just incredible support, and of course, they were very confidential, and that is something that's so important, because I think a lot of women hide that fact away, partly to protect their family and partly to protect themselves.
Obviously, you're very emotional about this. And if people haven't realized it yet, the reason why this is so emotional for you, obviously you want to help ladies who have experienced this, but you have a personal story in this. And you've wanted the opportunity to be able to share that to help others. So I want you to take your time and tell it how you feel is best for you to tell it. But tell your story and why this choices is so important to you.
Okay. At 17, I thought I had a stomach flu and discovered it wasn't a stomach flu at all. And I wasn't very wise at that age. And decided the best way to cope with that would be to abort. I didn't know much about it, but conferred with a couple of people and decided I guess that was the best option. And I was born out of wedlock and had feelings of rejection and second-class citizen. And I loved children. I couldn't wait to be a wife and mom. But I just didn't know about repeating history. And so we traveled about 2.5 hours for the procedure, and just knew all the way home it was the wrong choice.
So you knew in your heart immediately.
I tried to believe, things that they would say, like, it's just tissue right now, and come to learn that that is just not the truth. But I think I knew in my heart that it was a child, very early in development, but it was a child. And so coping with that through the years and being very secretive about it. There was a lot of dark days. And God would place scriptures or songs or people in my days. Just when I look back and think I needed that most. we have 3 children, and they don't know that sibling. And it breaks my heart that I don't know that child, but it also breaks my heart. It affected our entire family. And they've been very supportive. When they became of an age, I thought I should tell them.
So this is something, this is a burden that you've borne for a long, long time.
It's 40 years this summer.
How did you come to a point of being able to feel like your relationship with God was what it needed to be when you felt such guilt and regret?
I've walked with the Lord for quite some time. I think Remy was 1.5. It was 89 when I was baptized in the middle of the night. we waited till Ronnie got home to go to the church baptistry, and I didn't want to wait any longer, but You know, you grow as a Christian and you learn, and that was just one sin that I didn't think I could lay at the foot of the cross. And I even was so secretive that I didn't want to research it online. I wanted to protect especially our family and the children when they were young. And so the Bible study that I went through is called Surrendering the Secret. And it is such a secretive, private subject. A lot of people just carry that burden alone. But God knew what He had in store. And He knew that that burden needed to be lifted. And so 2019 was that journey for me. And it started in January, and the class ended at the end of November. And there's a sacred place where I prayed for those 40 days in 2019. We had permission to pray at the courthouse. A beautiful soul named Rachel was the leader. And I wanted to commit to at least an hour all 40 of the days at the courthouse. And I think we had to be out of town one day, but I journaled those prayers and just came to know God on a totally different level. And I was going through the 40 days at the same time of the Bible study. And so I think we started the Bible study in September. And that year, I want to say 40 days started in September. I could look back and tell you for sure. But everything was falling into place. And a support system was being raised up for me. And I just thought, Lord, use my story. I don't want anybody to hurt. And I don't want anybody to be alone in that grief. They have several steps that they want you to go through in the Bible study. And grief was one thing I had thought about. A memorial service. For that child, and just never brought myself to do it independently. And I think there's such healing in that moment and the moments leading up. But anyway, I just want to be a part of anybody that God brings into my path to show them it's not an unforgivable sin. And one day, we will meet those children.
Someday you'll meet that child. Yes. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you for being able to share your story. I know it's difficult. I know it's been a long journey, but now you're able to help other ladies who have been through this.
I hope so.
And bearing that same burden. What would be your message today if somebody's listening to this and they've experienced what you've experienced? What would you say to them?
God already has the people and tools in place to help you heal, and I think it's going to be a process. The tears may always come when you think of the loss of your child. But you get stronger when you share your story. And I would encourage any woman who's not comfortable to talk to someone to begin journaling. Just getting those emotions processed in some way. Even if you have to burn it or tear it up when you're done, a time will come, I think, when you will feel led to share with someone. And before 2019, those women were in this church for me. Karen Lilgedahl has walked with me almost the whole time that we've lived here. For some reason, I was led to share part of the story with her. And later, Debbie Kitchens. And then later, Valerie Burns. And I have not told my story to anyone who has not been gracious and kind. And it may happen in the future, but so far God has just built a support system under me that is unbelievable. And then in 2019 is when I shared with you and Vicki and felt very led to talk to the shepherds about it, because I knew I needed prayer support and spiritual guidance, because I don't want to bring pain. I don't know, you know, at that time I didn't know, how do you talk about the subject? I couldn't even say the word until I'd gone through the Bible study. And I remember one year that we had Sanctity for Life at Graham Street, and Roger Williams was our minister. And I remember sitting in the pew, just knowing that that sermon was for me and so many others, and that there has to be a way to handle the pain.
Well, we were honored that you trusted us with your story. And we started praying for you as you worked through this, and praying that you would realize God's forgiveness and be able to forgive yourself. But our prayer changed over a period of time. It began to be a prayer that you could be an ambassador for this cause. And, you know, that I think that prayer has been answered. That's what you're doing, and you're helping others. And I want you to feel that that's a special ministry that God has placed on your heart years ago, and He's led you to this point.
Well, I wish it was not part of my story, but I know His grace and His mercy, and I can't be quiet about that.
Amen. Amen. That's a victory.
And thank you for your prayers.
Certainly.
Thank you for walking beside us.
Right? Michelle, we're proud of you. And Ronnie, you've been on this journey too. You're not left out of this at all. I'm so proud of you too. You see, we're all called to have the compassion of Christ. We have a great high priest who became a human being so that he could identify with our hurts and with our pain. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that we can trust him with anything. We know that he is there for us in our time of need. And that's a message we need to share with everybody. There's not anybody that's committed a sin so terrible that they can't be forgiven, because Jesus forgave at the cross. And it's just for us to accept it. Okay? Michelle, Ronnie, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Thank you for the ministry that you're embarked upon. And church, thank you for being a family that will understand why we did what we did this morning. This wouldn't be acceptable in all places, but thank you for being that kind of family. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a day that we can pause and we can think about the sanctity of life. Oh, how much you must hurt when we don't take it seriously, that we are all created in the image of God, that we bear in our very being, our very existence, the nature of God. We thank you for that, and we honor you for that. We worship you for that. There is a hole in every one of us that can't be filled except with you. And we pray that we can be your instruments of grace and peace to get that message out to any person today that feels that they have done something so terrible that they can't be forgiven. Please, Lord, use us to bring peace in people's lives, that they don't have to continue to bear the burden of guilt and shame. Thank you for Michelle. Thank you for Ronnie. Thank you for their family. Thank you for choices. We're so grateful that we have an agency like that in our community that can be a blessing to ladies who are dealing with what they feel is an unwanted pregnancy, and that they can help those who are bearing the burden of a decision that they made that they regret. Thank you. But I thank you, Father, also to be a part of a church family that is concerned about the homeless and the poor and those who can't pay their utility bills and those who need clothing and those who are in prison and those who are dealing with mental illness and those who are having struggles in their family. I thank you for a church family that has witnessed by their service in this community their respect for the sanctity of life. Father, use us for your glory. Help us to know how we can better serve you by serving the people that need our help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, you'll find an opportunity to support Choices if you'd like to do that. If you know of someone that needs the kind of help that Michelle is working to help in, direct them that direction. She would love to help. This morning, I want to invite all of you to please stand and let's sing a song about being committed to the sanctity of life. Lord, make us instruments. Taylor?
Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. Where there is striving, we'll live, so is love. Where there is injury, we will never judge. Where there is striving, we will speak his peace to the people crying for release. We will be his instruments of peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. increase, or make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace. Where there is blindness, we will pray for sight. Where there is darkness, we will shine His light. Where there is sadness, we will bear their grief. To the millions crying for release, we will be His instruments of peace. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Walls of pride and prejudice shall cease when we are your instruments of peace.
Visitors, thank you for being here this morning. We know that you had other options to worship other places while you're in Stephenville. And thank you for the blessing you've been being here with us here this morning. Thank you for the lesson this morning, David. Ronnie, Michelle, we love you. That's the way it is. Prayer warriors, we've got a few people that we need to lift up in prayer going forward. Linda Knowles will have knee replacement this Tuesday. She's asked for prayers. Marilyn Schultze will also have hip replacement this Tuesday. And her and Paul have asked for the prayers of this church. Joanna Lay continues to improve. Just continue to lift her up in prayer as all of these. Larry Harrington told me that the men's chili supper will be coming out in the church bulletin, but February the 3rd. Gentlemen, mark your calendars. February the 3rd, which is a Thursday night, and we look forward to that. Also, it's touched on this morning, the church health assessment through the end of this month. The QR code, the website, please take care of that. Please provide information. Please provide input so the eldership will take into consideration as we look for direction with our youth ministry and that search. Taylor, we appreciate the songs you led this morning. Love one another because God is love. We've all experienced mercy, grace, and redemption. We've all experienced that. And just like in the chapter of John, the 8th chapter, Jesus said, "He who's without sin cast the first stone." Everybody dropped their stone and walked away. Let's be a church like that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the mercy and the grace and the redemption we have through you. Father, we thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for all the things that we enjoy because we get to call you Father and all the blessings you bestow upon us. Father, we pray for this worship service this morning. Father, we pray that we would be more like your Son, and we would be willing to walk with those in their walk, not be judgmental of them, but to help them and restore them back to the relationship that they so desire with you and you so desire with them. Forgive us when we fail you. Father, we ask for prayers for those brothers and sisters that have asked for prayers, those having surgery this week, those still recuperating, those still in rehab. Father, we thank you for our ministers. We thank you for their wives. We thank you for them laboring in the vineyard here with us. Continue to bless them. Father, in your time, and we pray for patience till we pray for a rain when it's your time. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son. Help us to look at people like your Son did in John 8. Help us to be willing to drop our stones and to be more willing to love people through their challenges than to be judgmental of them. Thank you for loving us. It's in your Son's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen.